Good afternoon and welcome to this episode of the Ad Drop Podcast. Well, as we look towards the rest of the football season, questions about the offseason remain. With me to discuss West Virginia football, Kevin Kinder of the Blue Gold News. Good afternoon, Kevin. How are you?
There, it's nice to join you. I definitely have a lot to talk about. An interesting time for Mountaineer football.
Yes, sir. Now, Neil Brown is the I'm not sure how it is actually within the state, but outside of West Virginia, you talk to West Virginia fans, they're frustrated with Neil Brown. He's a nice guy from all accounts, but the results haven't been there. What's been his greatest challenge or failing as far as being the head coach of the Mountaineers?
Effective, it's been in-game management and of course, winning games. When Neil Brown was hired, he really fits West Virginia culture, really looked like a good fit from that perspective. From Kentucky, coached here, Appalachian background, understands the area, understands the people. As far as running the program, the operations of it, all the things a head coach has to do, it seems like he's been good. He's a detail-oriented guy that can push some people, but I think in today's environment, you probably have to have some of that. On the field, there's been some operations problems, lots of delay of game penalties, getting things like that, and just little things that end up being big things because West Virginia, as you know, isn't going to out-talent a lot of people. They've got to play hard. They have to play well and execute efficiently in order to win a lot of games and to win close games. And that just hasn't been at the level that the Mountaineers need during his 4 years here.
Now, if we start looking at you said the culture is different, and like you said, West Virginia might not out-talent folks, but they'll definitely outwork them and execute well. Was there a point this season where you may have heard or seen the fan base kind of lose faith in Neil Brown's abilities?
It really started this year a little bit when you got to like the end of September. Mountaineers lost by one touchdown to Pitt in the opener. That's obviously, a huge historical rivalry, but played pretty well. Had a bad bounce that ended up deciding the game in the fourth quarter. There was natural frustration there, but I think it was still okay. But then, Kansas upset them. We've come to learn that Kansas is a pretty solid team this year, but coming into the year, obviously no one expected that. So that's when it really started to grow. And people felt like, in the fourth year of his tenure here, they should be showing more progress. He's used the mantra, trust the climb. That is, it may be tough. We know we have a long way to go, but, stick with it. And as will happen, people would use that against you. And then, as the season's gone along, it became, clear that West Virginia wasn't going to go to a bowl game. Fan discontent has definitely built some. There's still people on board, but there are a lot that believe that his time at West Virginia may be done.
Now, when we look at the quarterback situation, the Mountaineers had to deal with multiple quarterbacks. Who do you think the quarterback is in 2023? Or is that person on the roster yet?
Well, I think that person's on the roster. It's an open question. I don't think it's going to be JT Daniels, although he was eligible to come back. He just kind of had a year that didn't come together. Started out pretty good. Everyone looked like, hey, this is going to be a good transfer, but just kind of fell off a little bit. West Virginia needs a difference maker at quarterback, needs a player that can either throw it really great, like a Will Grier going back, a long time to days like Jeff Hostetler, Oliver Luck, or it needs a run pass guy. Obviously, it's had some great ones, Pat White, Rasheed Marshall, people like that. So Garrett Green is more of a runner, but can throw it adequately. He was had played well, gotten a win, and then got knocked out in the season finale against Oklahoma State. And Nico Margiole, who was West Virginia's prime recruit from last year, came in and didn't light it on fire, but he didn't kill West Virginia either. Had a couple big pickups and got the win in the finale against Oklahoma State. So I think it's those two guys, a big competition in the spring, assuming they both stay, which is always a question in today's, free transfer environment. I would lean toward Margiole just because he's a little better passer. I think he's a little more rounded, but it could be either one. Spring, if both of them are still here, going to be a very interesting competition.
Now, mention the offense. Does Graham Harrell return as the offensive coordinator, or does the team go in a different direction?
He will return if Neil Brown is here. Now, if Neil Brown is let go, obviously that, you know, opens up totally different possibilities. This was his first year at West Virginia. The offense was pretty good. It was usually, you know, scored enough points to be in the game. There's only one or two games where it, you know, was clearly outclassed and wasn't getting it done. They had some talent they were able to utilize pretty well. Need to continue to improve the quality of talent at the offensive line. Running backs look pretty deep if they all come back and are all healthy. So, yeah, I don't think there's any question that he comes back for year two as long as Neil Brown is here.
If Neil Brown doesn't return, does Harrell get an interview for the head coaching job, or do you think he's too far away from that?
I think he would be too far away from that just because, hey, was here 1 year. So many different ways this could go. A lot of this depends on who the new athletic director is, who, you know, West Virginia recently pretty much pushed out Shane Lyons there. So they have to hire an athletic director before they would make a change at head football coach. That's still probably at least a couple weeks away if that happens. But I don't think so right now. But, you know, it's a quickly changing environment.
Now, when we look at the roster that's returning, do you see anyone declaring early for the NFL draft, or do you think that because of the 5-7 season, talent might want to stay another year to kind of improve their stock?
Yeah, I think the way West Virginia's roster is built right now, the players that have a shot at the NFL are graduating or out of eligibility, so they're going to be in there automatically. And the younger talent, those guys, I don't think they're there yet. I think they need another year, even in an ordinary year. Say West Virginia was 8-4 and going to a bowl. I don't think that they are at a level where they could jump right to the NFL right now. I think that's one area of talent drain that probably won't happen, won't be a big factor. Of course, you know, like I said, transfer portal always beckons for every team now.
Now, when we come back from break, I want to discuss the defense, possible scheme changes, surprises, and who you might see come to Morgantown as coach if Neil Brown doesn't. But that's after break. You're listening to the AdDrop Podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the AdDrop Podcast. Terrence Biggs, Kevin Kinder from BlueGoldNews.com. Kevin, when you look at the defense, which it was ranked 114th out of 131, and to me, when I look at the defense, after watching games, talent was there. You had players like Lee Koba was there. One of the Stills brothers, Dante Stills, was there. Why does it seem – is it the secondary that cost the team most of the games, or was it a combined effort from all three levels?
I don't want to put, you know, all the blame on the secondary, but West Virginia was just devastated with injuries there. And a lot of teams have injuries, but – WVU just really got crushed there, playing a lot of young guys, which, as you mentioned, had talent, looked pretty highly regarded, but they could rarely get the same five guys on the back end on the field 2 weeks in a row. Just never got the benefit of those guys all playing together, you know, learning the strengths and weaknesses of each. So it was a constant battle to try to, you know, get that going. As you mentioned, Lee Koba was really good. But other than he and Stills, there weren't a lot of difference makers there. West Virginia depends on a position it calls the bandit, which is a combination rush end, linebacker, you know, kind of a jack of all trades. And it needs that player to be dynamic and play well. It had two players that filled that role, but not at the level I feel like they needed to make this defense go. So when you put all those things together, West Virginia struggled against the pass, you know, could not get the kind of stops that they wanted to, that they needed to get off the field, that they had, frankly, in past years, because the past couple of years, the defense had been really good. So, you know, I think the scheme is there. I think they have some young talent that's there. They just need time for them to work all together. This offseason, the spring, is going to be really big for the Mountaineers.
Who do you see as the one player returning next year that will provide the defensive punch that the Mountaineers need?
Oh, so many, a few different categories. I think Sean Martin on the defensive front and Jordan Jefferson. Those are guys that, you know, played up front along with Dante Stills that were really good. You mentioned Lee Koba. He's back. He's going to be good. West Virginia needs a couple of its youngsters, guys like Jacoby Spells in the secondary, just, you know, to be solid, to be better, not make the big mistakes. West Virginia could make plays, could get defensive stops, could get, you know, negative plays at times, but then they gave up just as many, if not more, big plays. They've got to iron out those busts and just be more solid across the board.
Are the Mountaineers too deep in the Neil Brown tenure to kind of change the defensive scheme, or do you think that he will tend to roll with what he has as far as schematic defense?
That's a really good question. This system, like I mentioned, is pretty flexible. It has that bandit position, you know, on the front that's pretty big. It also uses a position called a spear and a cat, two hybrid safeties. So the thing it's able to do is it doesn't have to depend on a traditional outside linebacker or a traditional strong safety. It can look at players that are different sizes, may have different skill sets, not fit a conventional scheme, and move them around. And when it's at its peak, it has two or three of those types of players that can play well, do multiple things, drop into coverage, blitz the passer, force the run off the edge. And as I mentioned, you know, past couple of years, it's been good. It just kind of fell down this year due to that combination of young talent, young people who weren't quite ready. A couple of transfers have hurt it in past years. So, you know, it can be tweaked a good bit, even from week to week. It's just getting those guys comfortable with everything they have to do.
Now, so what was your biggest surprise of the season? The one either player or one player incident or whatever during the season that kind of opened your eyes about the course of West Virginia football?
CJ Donaldson would have been in. He was brought in as a tight end / slot receiver kind of utility guy that West Virginia has really been trying to get a player of that ilk into its lineup. He ended up being so good just running the ball, they moved him into the backfield. And he bypassed everybody else and was West Virginia's starting running back and through the first part of the year, its best running back. Unfortunately, he had a couple of really tough injuries. The last one, lower leg injury, knocked him out for the year. But West Virginia could be really strong at running back. It had Jalen Anderson, who went for something like 150 in the last game of the season, showed lots of moves, has two other players, Justin Johnson and Tony Mathis Jr., who are both have proven that they can do the job. So I think West Virginia has the, you know, something it can lean on there. And if it gets just solid play from its quarterback, it can do it. But CJ Donaldson was definitely the breakout player that nobody knew a lot about or heard of starting the season that came on and made a difference until he got knocked out.
Who was your disappointing player? The one player like, oh, I thought this would be more.
I don't know if it was particularly one player, but those safeties in the secondary. West Virginia hit the transfer portal, got two or three players from lower levels from the FCS and that were very accomplished players that looked pretty good. Those look like good moves. When they came in, they were okay, but again, the consistency wasn't there. They never really meshed, and that kind of kept West Virginia's defense on its back foot all year. It couldn't, you know, depend on any two or three players. There was a different set of guys from week to week. So that's something either through the transfer portal or through development has to be better for West Virginia to improve defensively next year.
Does Neil Brown return, you think?
Wow. That's obviously the big question that you know, everyone is looking at right now. I would say if were it not for his prohibitive buyout, which is $19 million right now, will drop to about $15 million after January 1st. Plus, there's also buyouts for his assistants, which people don't talk about, which could be another $4 to $5 million, push that back up to the $20 million range, were the whole staff to be let go, which you obviously would expect to happen. I think if that weren't in place and weren't that high, that decision might have already been made. That's the one thing that would be leaning toward keeping him another year. Right now, I would say the wind is maybe blowing a little bit more toward a new coach. But, you know, West Virginia doesn't have unlimited funds, just like it doesn't have unlimited talent. So if you ask me that in 2 days, you might get a different answer. I'd say that the needle's a little bit more toward the departing at this point. But, well, it's really still an open question.
Looking into the future at next year's schedule, apparently the Mountaineers, you know, they had to, or they entertain a lot of Pennsylvania teams. They play Penn State the Saturday, September 2nd. Then they host Duquesne, and then actually they host Duquesne and Pitt back to back the 9th and 16th. When this happens, and you see a lot of West Virginia players, especially recruiting, do you think a new coach will be able to come in and use these games as a way to recruit that fertile Western Pennsylvania talent base?
Oh, I think so. I think it's very important. Obviously, West Virginia playing in the Big 12 doesn't have a lot of games that people can easily get to. You know, it's kind of seems like it's now everybody picks out one road game to go to. So that makes the non-conference schedule very important. Those traditional rivals that you mentioned, Pitt, Penn State, Virginia Tech that have played and beat this year. Cincinnati obviously coming into the Big 12 next year helps out a little bit. But yeah, those games are very big. For saying, hey, you can still see your sons playing here. You're still going to have at least a couple games that it's easy to get to, in addition to all the home games. So, yeah, I think that's a great point, and it's something that the previous administration emphasized. I think Neil Brown understands the importance of it, having been at Kentucky, another regional team that, you know, at some point West Virginia would like to get back on the schedule. Yeah, I don't think you can overemphasize that.
How can people interact with you on social media, and how could they read the latest on the with having the team as far as the blue gold news?
Great. You can go to bluegoldnews.com. That's all one word, just BLUEGOLDNEWS.com. And we are at Blue Gold News on Twitter. We definitely have a social media presence at every game. We travel to all the football games, majority of basketball games. Been in business for a long time, since 1988. And hopefully, you know, weathering this little tough time, getting Mountaineer fans back on board and seeing what the future holds.
Kevin Kender from Blue Gold News. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AdDrop Podcast.
Definitely a pleasure. Thank you, Terrence.
This has been another episode of the AdDrop Podcast.